Let's take a moment and generate our motivation and recollect that we are alive today solely due to the kindness of others. That we came into this life rather helpless, and it's really due to others who took care of us when we were little, who educated us, who taught us good manners, who inspired our talents. It's due to the kindness of other living beings that we've been able to become who we are today. So realizing our interdependence with others and realizing their kindness, let arise in your heart the natural wish to repay that kindness. And while we may repay others' kindness by giving them gifts or doing favors for them that bring them happiness in this life, the best way to repay their kindness is through attaining full enlightenment, so that we'll have all the qualities to lead them on the path as well. So generate that loving, compassionate thought of bodhicitta, that altruistic intention to become a Buddha in order to benefit all sentient beings most effectively. And then open your eyes and come out of your meditation. So good evening. So to talk about faith and inquiry. When I went to my first Buddhist course, this was 1975, I sat down. I knew nothing about Buddhism at all. And there were two Tibetan lamas teaching it, Lama Yeshe and Lama Zopa Rinpoche. And one of the first things they said was, "You don't have to believe anything we say." And I said, "Oh, that's good. Yeah, I think I'll listen now." Because if they had said, "We have the truth, and this is it, and just come and listen to it, and don't ask questions," I would have said, "Bye-bye." Okay, I was 24 years old at the time. I was so tired of people telling me what the truth with a capital T was. Because all these people were telling me the truth. They all had a different version of it. They all thought they were right. And worse, they all fought about it. And to me, as soon as somebody fights about their version of the truth, it indicates to me that somehow they haven't really understood their own religion. So Lama and Rinpoche, their version was different. The first thing they said was, "You don't have to believe anything we say." Yeah. And then they went on and said, "You're intelligent people." Yeah. So listen to the teachings and then think about them. Yeah. Think about them logically. Yeah. See if they make sense. See if they describe what you've experienced in your life. Try practicing them and see what happens when you practice them. See if they help your life, if you actually can change your mind through practicing them. So they really respected us as students. They respected us as sentient beings and saw us as intelligent, even though we're actually rather ignorant. But they left it to us to think about the teachings and make up our own mind. And I so much appreciated that approach. Okay? Because I had grown up with a very scientific education, and I was taught to inquire, to challenge, to question, not just to accept what somebody said blindly. And so in their saying, think about the teachings, check them out, they were really acting in accordance with the kind of modern education that I had had, and also with my temperament, because I'm somebody who likes to ask a lot of questions. And so I proceeded to do just that. I asked a lot of questions. And that was my way. Now, other people aren't necessarily so full of questions, but I sure was. And one thing I learned was in this process was I had to learn, first of all, how to ask my questions. Because sometimes we have a doubt, but we don't ask our question properly. So we roam all over the place, and therefore the person who we're asking the question to doesn't really understand what we're getting at. So one thing I had to learn was how to ask a question correctly, which means I had to really think about what my doubt was. Okay, I couldn't just kind of go there and go blah, 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 and expect somebody to understand. So I found that process of having to ask myself, what exactly is my question? You know, I found that process very, very helpful. I also had to learn that just because somebody answered my question didn't mean I would necessarily understand the answer. Okay. I always assumed that if I didn't understand the answer, it was the other person's fault. Yeah, because I had gone through my whole life and everything was always everybody else's fault. So similarly, if I didn't understand the answer, it was clearly because the person who answered the question didn't know what they were talking about or didn't know how to express it correctly. Okay, so it took me a while to let go of my own arrogance, yeah, and realize that sometimes, just maybe, I wasn't ready to understand the answers. Yeah. So I began to learn that I had to ask questions correctly, I had to listen to the answer, and then I started taking notes and writing it down. And I tried to write down as exactly as I could, word for word, what my teacher said, because I found that sometimes I didn't understand the answer when they gave it. But if I could remember exactly what they said and go back to my room and think about it some more, sometimes some more understanding came at that point. And then it took me even longer to learn that it's not that I'll just understand it a half an hour later after I go back to my room and think about it, but sometimes it takes me years to understand. Okay. And I think with understanding that sometimes it takes me years to understand, I began to understand that sometimes it might take me lifetimes or even eons to understand. So I kind of adapted this long-term view and let go of my arrogance that, you know, I have to understand everything right now or else it's somebody else's fault. And just realized that in learning Dharma, in gaining Dharma understanding, it's something that happens slowly over time because we have to improve our intelligence. We have to increase our merit or our positive potential. That understanding the answer to a question isn't just simply understanding the words. It's a lot more. Okay? So this leads into the whole topic of faith and inquiry and what are they and how they go together and how they complement each other. So let me first talk about what faith is. Okay. First of all, let's talk about the word faith, because the Tibetan word depa is what is often translated as faith. But I don't think faith is a really good translation of the Tibetan word or the Sanskrit word, the Pali word. Because in English, faith often has the connotation of blind faith, of just blind belief, of saying, yes, I believe something, but not knowing why we believe it. We just have faith without understanding. You know, the word faith has that connotation in English. So it's not a particularly good translation. Sometimes we use the word trust, which I think in many ways is better, okay? Because trust is something that has to be earned. We don't just trust blindly, okay? So in the sense of our spiritual path, we trust when that trust has been earned, okay? Or another possible synonym is confidence, okay? We have confidence in the Buddha. We have confidence in the Dharma and the Sangha. And again, we have confidence in someone or something because they've proved reliable, okay? So the words trust and confidence have a little bit more the connotation that there's some understanding or there's some process that we go through to generate those states of mind. It's not just a question of saying, hallelujah, I believe, and stop thinking. Okay, that's not it at all. So in this talk, I might sometimes use the word faith, but know that what I mean is this meaning that's like a cross between faith and confidence and trust and belief. You know, we're trying to get this idea across, and there's not one English word that is an exact translation for what we're trying to express. Okay, so there's often said to be three kinds of faith or three kinds of trust. The first kind is clear trust or clear faith. Okay, the second kind is aspiring faith or confidence, and the third is faith, trust, or confidence that is based on conviction, okay, or that is correlated with conviction. So let's go back to the first one, okay, the clear trust or the clear faith. So this is something that sees, it's a quality of the mind that sees the qualities, the good qualities of someone or something, and feels uplifted and feels a sense of trust and belief because we've seen those good qualities. So in the context of the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, we see the Buddha's qualities, or we see the qualities of the Dharma. We see the excellent qualities of the Sangha. And that generates a very clear mind that admires those qualities. So it's a kind of admiration, so to speak, okay? That's based on just knowing the qualities. So that uplifts the mind, doesn't it? It gives us some good vision of what Buddha, Dharma, Sangha are. Then the second kind of faith or confidence is aspiring faith or aspiring confidence. And that's when we look at the good qualities of the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha and aspire to generate them ourselves. So this kind of confidence or trust, it has some more knowledge. It's more interactive because we not only see the qualities and admire them, but we aspire to generate them ourselves. Okay, so involved in that is some confidence that it's actually possible for us to generate those qualities and that it's worthwhile to do so. Okay, then the third kind of faith or confidence is sometimes it's translated as convinced faith, convinced confidence, or trust with conviction. But what we're getting at is this is a kind of trust that is based on understanding. And so through studying the Buddha's teachings, we gain conviction in their validity. And that conviction leads us to have this state of faith or confidence or trust where, again, the mind is uplifted, the mind is inspired, the mind wants to understand more. Okay? So this kind of convinced or faith with conviction entails a lot of learning and reflection because conviction doesn't just come out of thin air. We have to do some work to develop conviction. Okay? So actually, it's interesting here because here we see another difference between the Buddhist meaning of faith and confidence and blind faith. Okay? Because with blind faith, you don't have to do anything except say, I believe. Okay? In fact, all you have to do is often stop thinking. Yeah? Because thinking is dangerous to blind faith. But in order to generate the clear faith that admires the good qualities, or the aspiring faith that aspires to be like the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, or the faith with conviction, all of those involve us having to do some work. Okay? So if we want to increase our trust and confidence in the Triple Gem, you know, it's not the responsibility of the Triple Gem. It's our responsibility. Okay? We have to exert the effort, learn the teachings, think about them, okay, and ask questions. Okay, so that's a little bit about the three kinds of faith or confidence. So we can see here that inquiry actually plays a very important role in generating confidence in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Okay? Because we have to inquire, we have to learn, we have to voice our doubts, and we have to gain a really clear understanding of the teachings. So many of you may have seen in the Tibetan tradition the monks and nuns debating. Yeah? You ever seen that? Some of you may have been to India, or I think sometimes the monks come to Singapore and they'll do displays along this side. And, you know, one person's sitting down and one person's standing up, and you ask somebody a question and then you go, you know, when you... You present your question or challenge to them. So this whole system of debate originated in ancient India in the great monastic universities. And in India, the purpose of the debate was to defeat the propositions of the non-Buddhists. Okay, because in ancient India, the Buddhists were living together with people of many, many different kind of belief systems. And even if you read the sutras in the Pali Canon, you can see that at the time of the Buddha, there were so many different beliefs. So people were always discussing and debating. So at that time, you know, debate was used to employ logic and reasoning to show the validity of the Buddha's teachings and to show that more than any other system, the Buddha's teachings were amenable to logic and reasoning and validated by logic and reasoning. Okay? When the Dharma went to Tibet, most people became Buddhists. And so at that time, the purpose of the debate was not so much to defeat the non-Buddhists, but the purpose of the debate changed to become something that helped the students understand the Dharma themselves. So debate became a tool in learning, and the students became encouraged to really discuss and debate the teachings and voice their doubts, because in that way they would clarify any kind of misconceptions that they may have had. Because sometimes we listen to the teachings and we think that we understand them. You know, we hear something and we go, oh, yeah, you know, I knew that already. You know, sometimes we're a bit proud. You know, I knew that already, or that makes sense to me, you know, no problem with that. But only when people ask us questions do we sometimes realize that we don't have a clue about the actual meaning. Yeah, it's a little bit embarrassing sometimes, you know. You think, oh, I understand this. And somebody asks you a question and you go, look out the window. There's something very interesting out there. You know, we change the subject, don't we? Okay. So actually, when somebody asks us a question that we don't know the answer to, it's not shameful or disgraceful. It's actually that person is benefiting us because they're showing us where there's holes in our understanding. And since we want to understand the Dharma thoroughly, when somebody shows us the holes in our understanding, we should say thank you and then go back and think about it some more, or ask our teachers, or read some of the Dharma books and try and find the answer to the question that the other person asked that we aren't clear on. Okay, so this is what happens a lot in the debate. Okay, somebody's asked a question and then they have to respond. And if they say something that doesn't make sense, then, you know, the other person in the debate quickly points it out to them. Okay? So it's a very good system for helping us to clarify our own understanding. And understanding is so important in Buddhism because in Buddhism, we don't get enlightened simply by having faith. Okay? We get enlightened through transforming our own mind. Okay? So if we're going to transform our own mind, we have to understand how to. We have to understand what is an afflicted emotion or a misconception. And we have to understand why those misconceptions are misconceptions. Why, you know, we have to generate the wisdom that can prove those ideas are incorrect and thus weed them out of our mind. You know, we have to understand the thoughts and the quote-unquote logic behind our emotions, our negative emotions, and then be able to see how that logic, in quotes, is actually very foolish and totally illogical. And when we can do that, then it can really help us deal with a lot of those emotions. Okay? Let me just make an example of how reasoning and inquiry can be used in helping us to deal with our emotions. Okay? Because often when we have an emotion, we feel that, you know, it's the only possible way to respond to a situation. You know, somebody says something, somebody does something. Well, the only possible way any sensible person would respond would be to get angry. Okay? You know, somebody said something we didn't like, or they accuse us or whatever. So we feel very often with our emotions that we don't have any alternative to how we feel. Okay? And that itself is a wrong conception, because there's always a moment of choice where we're choosing what emotion to have. It's just very often we don't realize we have that choice. Okay? We don't take that choice. Okay? But let's say somebody accuses us of something. So we get angry. Yeah? So it's very helpful when anger is arising to ask ourselves, why am I angry? Let's do a little bit of inquiry here. Why am I angry? Yeah. And so at first, our mind responds, well, I'm angry because so-and-so did this and that. And, oh, you know, can you imagine? And then we respond to ourselves, oh, yes, so-and-so did this and that, but why am I angry? And then our mind says, well, I'm angry because blah, 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 blah. You know, and we go, okay, yes, blah, blah, blah happened, but why am I angry? Okay,
So as long as you continue to have reasons that are outside of yourself, keep asking yourself that question. Yes, but why am I angry? In other words, yes, all of that happened, but why do I need to be angry about it? That's the real question. Why do I need to be angry? Somebody criticized me. Why do I need to be angry? Because somebody criticized me. Why? Yeah? Ask yourself. Challenge yourself. Yeah? Somebody talks behind your back. Why do you need to be angry? Somebody doesn't like your idea. Why do you need to be angry? You know, when we really sit and think about it, we become a little bit hard put to actually think of a good reason to validate our anger. Yes, somebody doesn't like my idea, you know, and they said so in front of everybody in the company. But why do I need to be angry? Why? Can you think of a good reason? You know? I mean, it's a free world. Not everybody's going to like our ideas. Yeah? They're entitled to their ideas. They don't always have to agree with us. They don't always have to do things our way. Why do we have to get angry? Because people have different ideas and different ways of doing things. Doesn't make much sense, does it? Yeah? Or somebody doesn't like our idea. And we think that when they don't like our idea, it means they don't like us. But is that true? Just because somebody disagrees with our idea, does that mean that they don't like us? Are we in our idea union oneness? I don't think so. Yeah. So somebody doesn't like our idea. It doesn't necessarily mean they think we're stupid. It doesn't mean that they don't like us. Just means they don't agree with our idea. Okay. So why do we need to get angry? What benefit does anger do? Okay. So this is a very good kind of inquiry. Yeah. So instead of having blind faith in the power of our anger, yeah, instead of having faith in our anger, we should do some inquiry and say, is my anger founded on something that's rational or not? Okay? So inquiry can be very, very good. You know, when we have blind faith in our negative emotions, inquiry kind of squashes that. It dispels that. So very, very useful. You know? When our mind is full of resentment and we're holding a grudge, you know, and inside we're going, you know? Have you ever noticed that? I don't know about you, but when I get really resentful, it's like I have a courthouse in my heart. Okay? There's a judge, there's the jury, there's the prosecutor, and they're all on my side. Yeah? And I can come up with all the reasons why that person's wrong and I'm right, and why that person has a negative position. Or a negative motivation, but I don't. And why that person isn't to be trusted, but why I am so noble and magnanimous. Okay? Yeah. So the judge, the jury, the prosecutor, they're all on my side. The defense, I didn't even let in the door. Okay? So, you know, when we see our mind acting this way, yeah, with our own internal courthouse, which is actually a big state of suffering, isn't it? Yeah, when we're so busy criticizing people, being resentful, being angry, putting them down, not trusting their motivations, taking every opportunity we can to find fault in them. Who's the one that suffers when we think like that? Who's the suffering person? When you're angry, who's suffering? We're suffering, aren't we? Yeah, anger is a huge state of suffering. So when we're angry, instead of sitting there in our state of suffering, thinking that the judge, jury, and prosecutor are our friends, We should turn and look at the judge, jury, and prosecutor in our heart and say, what logical foundation do you have to stand on? Yeah? We should question our own anger. Okay. So that's a little bit of a play about blind faith and inquiry. Yeah, don't have blind faith in our negative emotions, but try and use some inquiry to dispel them.